Money, consumption, status, and power have long driven our culture's pulse. They've shaped our motivations, our behaviors, and our beliefs. But what happens when we give art the same influence? Writers, designers, musicians, photographers, videographers, and the world's most creative minds have the power to heal us, challenge us, and guide us back home to ourselves. In their hands and through their crafts, we find a new world. One where art is a catalyst for powerful change. Where self-expression, human connection, and deep empathy are the world's richest assets. This is Art is the New Wall Street with your host, Morgan Short.
Hey, artists and creative friends. Welcome back to Art is the New Wall Street. We're in for a treat today. We're welcoming a magical human to the show today, my friend Chelsea Kazmierczak-Gathel. Chelsea is a board-certified functional nutritionist and an intuitive practitioner on her soul's mission to empower the healer within each individual and our collective. And she lives at the intersection of science and spirituality. She serves as a guide for others on their journey to whole person wellness. She has 8 years as a holistic wellness practitioner, and that has taught her many lessons. Most importantly, that to be truly well, we must nourish our soul, heart, mind, and body. Chelsea, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Morgan. I am so thrilled to be here to have this conversation with you. We've had so many wonderful conversations throughout the course of our friendship, and I can't wait to have one recorded, honestly.
I know. We've had so many conversations where I'm like, everyone needs to hear this. Okay, so Chelsea, a piece of feedback that I've gotten recently about me in my life is that I need to be less rigid. And I have been thinking about how rigidity and discipline are different. And I value being disciplined and showing up and having a routine and creating creative freedom. And so when I got that feedback, I was like, how can I still be disciplined, but take the feedback of being less rigid? So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. When I think about discipline, when I think about structure, that comes back to kind of the differentiation between masculine energy and feminine energy. Every being has both masculine and feminine energy. It's not a gender thing. And there is a scale or kind of a spectrum of masculine and feminine. On the far ends of both, there's the wounded masculine and the wounded feminine. And in the middle, there's the balanced or divine masculine and feminine. And we live in a very hyper masculine, very structured, very rigid society that would fall more into the category of wounded masculine. And the masculine is our structure. The masculine is organization. The masculine is the frame that the masterpiece gets painted within. And the feminine is the flowing creative masterpiece, essentially. So when we live in the wounded masculine, we're really far over on the spectrum. We're so obsessed with doing everything the same and structured and rigid. And when we don't do that exactly perfect list of things, we failed. That's a wounded masculine. And to bring that back to center, to a more balanced or divine masculine, is I create structures, but I'm open to those structures changing. I understand that as I evolve, those structures are going to have to change. On the feminine side, the wounded feminine is floaty and ethereal, and I'm going to sit on a mountain and meditate for 25 years and manifest my dream life, and it's all energy, but I'm not doing anything. I'm not masculine doing anything. I'm just kind of being. And the balanced feminine is I'm going to create and I'm going to flow and I'm going to, the feminine energy honestly is a little bit, it's a little chaotic. I'm going to kind of ping around, but I have my balanced masculine structure to ping around within, right? I'm the masterpiece in the frame. And so when we talk about, you know, artists, and that is so clearly your passion, right? And I have a hard time identifying with the word artist. I love creating. I love the idea of creation. But I would never call myself an artist. But if we just think about masculine and feminine, we all technically are artists, right? The feminine is an artist,
Yes.
And the wounded feminine is going to create and flow and but without the structure to share that, right? Like mm-hmm. we talked about the starving artist. I'm going to paint all day long, but I'm afraid to, or don't feel capable of, or don't know how to ask for help creating the structure to share that within, right? So yeah. It's balanced masculine and balanced feminine. I have these structures that I can flow within. I'm open to them changing, but I'm not just a plastic bag blowing in the wind all day long from one thing to the next. Some days we're more masculine, other days we're more feminine, certainly, but it's that like bringing it back to center, bringing it back to balance between the two.
How do I go about that balance?
I think the first maybe mindset shift beyond anything super tangible is trusting that you are inherently both masculine and feminine. And for both males and females, there are times in life where we have to really be one or the other to survive. But at the end of the day, we are inherently meant to flow between the two. And so, you know, learning to trust that, helping remind yourself of that, giving yourself the opportunity, and this would be a little bit more tangible throughout your day to go, okay, here's the structure of my day from hour to hour, but one of those hours or part of one of those hours is just creative time. So I put a masculine structure around my time, but within that time, I can do whatever I want to do. I can flow or nap or paint or come up with podcast ideas or whatever it may be. So like kind of muscling it or white knuckling that creativity and flow into your days, and knowing that even though sometimes the feminine flowy creative, that feels less productive because it's not society's definition of productivity or success. Hence, art is the new Wall Street, right? If we believed collectively that creating and flowing and art was truly our currency, that was really the energy we were meant to live like as our main thing, our main currency that we were working towards, this would be a very different story. But trusting that creativity is just as valuable and just as productive as that like rigid structure. Right.
Yeah. I think as creatives, when the concept of routine comes up, they are like squirmy and they're like, no way, I can't do it. But I think when we change the mindset into more, we're creating a structure to allow the creative to flow. That is so profound and such a powerful insight. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think a lot of creatives struggle with that.
So many of us do. I even, in my like career path in working in a clinic, working for somebody else that was so hyper-masculine, so structured, something different, new client every 15 minutes. This is exactly what you do all day long. To starting my own practice and my own business, there was this in-between phase where things had been so structured that I was like, I can't do anything with any structure ever. I've got to just sit at my desk and see what happens. And I believe that good things will come from that. So good things will come. And they did, but it was like, okay, wait, no, just sitting here isn't going to be the answer either. There is like a sweet spot or a happy medium. And I would venture to guess if you grow up so inherently creative and artistic, the idea of structure feels almost threatening. Or yeah. You as a kiddo, a really artistic kid probably doesn't fit in quite into the normal structures that we're supposed to fit into. So then you feel wrong and you're either going to hide who you are and try to follow that hyper masculine route and kill off part of yourself and your soul, or you're going to double down on who you are, but not feel comfortable letting any of that in because you feel like you have to protect yourself from that energy. You have to protect your creative, flowy, the feminine parts of you from that masculine energy. And that's, you know, we've gotten so black and white about things, and it's the same. It's so hyper this or it's so hyper that, but it's okay to look at it as a spectrum and try to find that middle ground for you.
Yes, absolutely. I am one of those types of people who is all in one way or another. And I think only recently is duality a thing that I'm like, oh, right. It doesn't have to be either or.
Yeah. We see it so often, right? So as a nutritionist, the practice of working with someone on their health from a nutrition and kind of lifestyle perspective. The pendulum is so evident in those situations because somebody will be really maybe not doing the right things to take care of themselves. And let's use the standard American example of, you know, fast food and soda instead of water and very, you know, not moving their body, very sedentary, you know, kind of the what we see a lot of the time. And there are people that are like, okay, I'm going to go all in and I'm only going to eat salads and I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to, you know, drink 900 ounces of water every day. And you're like, okay, well, now the pendulum has swung. And when we're trying to white knuckle it through or power through something, right? Willpower through something. We only have willpower until we get stressed, tired, or hungry, which is every moment right. of every day. Of course. We're a little stressed, tired, or hungry. So then the pendulum swings back. And then that feels like a failure because I couldn't stick to it. And then we beat ourselves up. And then we, you know, we go through the whole cycle of, okay, I'm ready to do it. I'm gonna, and then it swings back. And it's like, that in itself is exhausting.
It is.
And it's not a failure in any way, shape, or form. It's actually a huge win if you can look at, you know, where am I? Where do I want to be? And take steps toward that middle, right?
Yeah.
Or think about letting go of the pendulum, letting go of the control of needing to be so perfect over here, but almost creating like a cushion for the pendulum to bump into on this side. So it's not so sharp, right? Like creating, you get to make your own rules, right? And that rules can be a little extreme of a word, but you get to create like, what does success look like when I let go of that pendulum? Does it mean that, you know, instead of being hyper-focused on being perfect all the time, I have one day a week where I don't look at any metrics, any measures of success. I just sort of let myself be, right? It's not every day that I'm not looking at those things, but I have a little cushion to just yes. let go of things, right? It's really that idea of kind of the pendulum is going to swing no matter what, but letting it be a little bit more gentle because eventually it will come to center. It takes time and it takes effort and it takes a lot of consciousness. And really, we're living in a world that is so unconscious that even recognizing like I'm hyper productive, hyper success is like what I'm driven by. And it's probably other people's definition of success. Even recognizing that, becoming conscious to that gives you like a cushion on the other side when the pendulum wants to swing back over.
Wow.
And then it gently softens to middle for sure.
Wow. Wow.
I have throughout my life yo-yo dieted like crazy. And you're just explaining that so clearly. Like when I get in that like super clean, and it comes back to rigidity too. When I get back into that super clean mind and I'm like, I have to eat salads and greens and lean protein and I have to work out and I have to do my journaling and all of those things. If I'm not doing that, if I'm pulling it this far, like it just, you're hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
Dead on. I swing back the other way and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go binge watch Netflix. I'm going to go eat a bunch of pizza and whatever, like things that my soul feels like it's need because it's fighting against me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh.
And we, you know, we all went to school, right? We all know like an A is a good grade, a C is a not good grade, right? Like we have these really distinct ways to measure like this was good and this is bad, but that's not real. That's not how energy works. That's not how change works. It's literally physics, right? Like the pendulum is physics. The wave, like once it starts, it will come down, but if the higher it goes, the lower it's going to go, right? So mm-hmm. if we can think about, I'm going to make a change for my health. Okay. There's 45 things I could do. What if I picked 4? And I can stick to those and those feel good. So instead of like, I've pulled the pendulum all the way over here and now it's all the way back here. Well, I've moved it over, but not quite so far. So when it ultimately swings back a little bit because something stressful happens or I don't have any greens in the house or it's snowing and I can't get to the gym. So it's not as an extreme of a swing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Really giving ourselves permission to count the little wins, I think is part of it as well. And we're, It's like, I did 4% today. Well, it's better than zero. Yeah, but it's not enough. It's absolutely enough. It's absolutely enough.
Ooh, that's an important reminder. In your experience, how does all of this physical and emotional well-being then play into our capacity for productivity and for creative?
Absolutely. Work? Absolutely. I mean, I think we all know the idea of a creative block, right? That comes when we've put so many expectations on ourselves to produce, to do it, that we literally can't get the creative flow through. And so that block could come from any degree of stress, whether it's self-imposed or external, or probably a bit of both, right? Where the bucket of stuff that we're carrying gets so full that we're just in survival mode. It's like, I just have to carry this bucket. And so the flow, the creativity, like it doesn't get through, or it doesn't get through the way that we want it to. As a small business owner, right? We all have those moments where we're like, okay, I got to sit down and I got to come up with an Instagram post right now. And it's like, oh, I'm not in the space to do that. It doesn't take much, but can I slow down? Can I take a couple deep breaths? I have this bucket. Can I empty the bucket out a little bit? What can I set aside and kind of separate myself from, so that the guidance, because our creativity is so much more than, I have a good eye for color. I do not. So that's not a true example, right? It's so much more than that. Like Julia Cameron, right? Creativity is our soul flowing through us, whether that's to write or create an Instagram post or to paint or to create music, whatever it is. Letting yourself out of that like hyper stress, hyper focused, you know, empty the bucket a little bit. That's where that information, that's where that creativity gets to come through.
Ooh. Yes. And what happens when we find ourselves in a creative drought? Do you push through that?
That's a great question. That's a Julia Cameron question.
I love Julia Cameron. Shout out to Julia Cameron. Maybe someday you'll come be on my podcast.
Should we drop Morning Pages in here and see if we can get her with the keyword?
I love Morning Pages, actually. I've done The Artist's Way 3 times. And it has transformed my life every single time. It's unlocked a new level of creative understanding. So shout out to Julia Cameron. If you don't know her, she's the author of The Artist's Way. Within that book, I call it more like a guide because it's more something you do than something you read. She has morning pages, which are basically 3 pages of consciousness in the morning when you wake up first thing. Just get it out, get yourself unstuck, whatever it is. Maybe it's your dreams. Maybe it's what you have to do today. It's almost a form of meditation. And then the other thing that she does is weekly artist dates. You go out and you collide with the world and you get inspired. If you haven't read it, shout out Julia Cameron. Go get The Artist's Way. If you are listening to this podcast, you probably have some sort of interest in art, and I cannot recommend that book enough. Anyway, sidebar. And also, this is not a paid ad.
Not sponsored.
Okay.
To come back to that question, when we hit that, you know, that block, right, in creativity, recognizing it. And it comes back to the idea of kind of softening into, what do I need right now? Is it worth it for me to push through? Is it okay for me to actually lean into that, like, kind of hyper masculine? If I just get the pen on the page, if I just, you know, get the paint on the paper, clearly not an artist with these challenges of coming up with artistic ideas.
You are an artist. If I just
do it, you're sweet. It will come through, right? Is this the moment for me to just do? And there are times, right? There's productivity is not bad. Dedication to something is lovely and wonderful. Devotion to your life, devotion to living the life that you want to live is really, really beautiful. And there's times where the devoted thing to do is to like, yep, I'm going to power through. There's times where the devoted thing to do is like throw your hands up and go, I have to go do something else. I have to change my scenery. I have to change what I'm doing. I have to set this down. And at the end of the day, like in every moment, we're the ones that get to answer that question. What's the right way for me to move through what feels like this block?
Can you say more about devotion?
Yeah. I think of devotion as like dedication with more love in it.
Mm.
Right.
Okay.
self-love.
So dedication would just be kind of like discipline to a thing, or I'm dedicated to this, but then devotion, the nuance there is what?
I'm dedicated to, and this is just my own definition. Mm-hmm. Devotion is a dedication or a commitment to something from the place of like love. I'm dedicated to this project because it's my soul's work and I love it. And I'm devoted to seeing it through, whatever that means. I'm devoted to starting this business. I'm devoted to sharing the message about what it means to be truly healthy because I love that message. And I'm going to stick to that. I'm going to get that out there because I love it and I'm devoted to it. Versus I'm committed to something, and we're committed to our partners, we're committed to our pets, we're like, it's not a bad thing, but I'm committed to something because it's maybe what I think I have to do, or it's what I was told I have to do, or it's what someone else defined as success, or what someone else did. I'm committed to it, so I'm doing it, but it's almost like the foundation that you're standing on. It's like a should or a have to, or I think I'm supposed to do this. It's pretty good. Versus like, I love this. I nothing could stop me from doing this. And there will be things in life that we're just kind of have to commit. You have to commit to paying your water bill. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe the most enlightened people in the world. Exactly. Maybe the most enlightened people in the world are like, I love water. I pay my water bill for devotion. I haven't gotten there yet. There's still things we just have to do. Mm-hmm. The idea of self-love is so big right now. Love yourself enough to love yourself enough to really know yourself. Love yourself enough to explore all the parts of yourself, the good, the bad, the ugly, the dark, the light. And when you know yourself in that way, when you love yourself in that way, that's where the things you're doing, the things you're committed to or devoted to or dedicated to, whatever the word is, that's where it's really coming from a place of like flow and creativity and love.
You know, when it comes to self-love, there's a lot of it right now, like you said. It's almost, some of it can feel misconstrued in a way that's like, I love myself and I'm perfect as is, and that's just kind of all it is. And as somebody that values growth, I sometimes struggle with it a little bit. How much self-compassion do I give myself and self-love versus don't lose sight of growth? Do you experience that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. This is a concrete example in especially like the nutrition world that I run into is with intuitive eating and like body positivity. Yes. Technically, no food is a bad food. All bodies are beautiful and wonderful and absolutely. And depending on what one of us is experiencing, depending on what each of us is experiencing, could I care for myself, nurture myself, nourish myself, eat in a way, move in a way that honors who I am and how I got here, but is devoted to continuing to become the healthiest, best, most vibrant, truest form of myself. There's this in spirituality in that space, this idea of becoming, you know, there's old me and new me. I'm becoming my new self. And the way that I think of it is you're actually becoming your truest self. You're shedding layers, acknowledging, allowing yourself to recognize there are parts of me that I'm like, ooh, that avoidant behavior of like, you need to do your bookkeeping and instead you're doing what? What's that? That's an avoidant behavior, right? There are parts of me that I recognize are not perfect, but I have worked to love myself enough to acknowledge that and love her and want to unwind. Why is that the behavior that I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like there's a balance. Speaking of duality, it's like loving yourself in the present and loving yourself enough to want to be your truest self, to want to shed the layers of others' expectations and, you know, unresolved, unfelt emotions and traumas and patterns and whatever it is, like to be okay with looking at those things and knowing that those are the things that got you here and you love that. And I love myself enough to want to be my truest self. Mm. Right? There's a duality to it.
I
want to
pause here. When you talk about duality, I have heard you intentionally use the word and instead of but. Mm-hmm. That's intentionally, right?
It was so intentional. Yes. This is actually a tip that was given to me by a dear friend and a coach and a mentor of mine. She was like, really go through a day and recognize how many times you're going to say but you could actually say and. And there are very few times where something is actually a but, right? I was going to go to the store, but it snowed 86 inches. Okay. Yeah, that's valid. What about I was going to go to the gym and work out for an hour, but I only went for 20 minutes. I was going to go to the gym and work out for an hour, and I went for 20 minutes. Oh, okay. It's that, like, the duality, the this and that. I love myself now, mm-hmm. even in my imperfections, and I'm getting better. I'm becoming my truer self, my future self, my new self, whatever wording lands for somebody, every day. Right. Yes. It can be the this and that. You can be masculine and feminine. You can be productive and creative. The separation of those two things or of any of those things is part of why we have to have podcasts like Art is the New Wall Street. Right. You can be creative or you can be, you know, wealthy and successful. You can eat good food or you can make art. It's like, what? How is that? Like, how have we separated those two things? All of those should be ands. Mm-hmm. You can have a business and be creative. You can, like, all of those things should go together. There's yes. really the and. That's a powerful tool. And I catch myself, I pay very, very close attention to, like, my energy from a certainly, like, do I need a nap? Did I get enough sleep last night perspective? But also from an alignment. This is where I'm meant to be. This feels really good. I pay a lot of attention to it. And one of the ways that I'll know that I'm slipping into my patterns of avoidance or maybe victim or hiding, we talk a lot about that, right? When I feel ready to do something big and new and launch something new into the world or put a post out there that's a little controversial, instead of doing it, I'm like, well, I'm going to go take a quick 500-hour siesta and not do it, and I'll hide, right? I'll run away. Yeah. I recognize those patterns, but one of the first things I'll pick up on for myself is I'll start saying but instead of and. I'll hear myself say but like 10 times, and I'm like, ooh, I'm in a moment where I can choose to kind of slow down, look at what's right in front of me, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to hold all the things, I can come right back to the center moment and lean into it or soften into it and then take the next step. Or yes. sometimes I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to be a frazzled, frantic, high cortisol mess and go drink some more coffee and hope for the best. That's how today's going to go.
You're scratching the surface of one thing that I want to dive a little deeper into as well, which is knowing when something is meant for you. We make so many decisions in our busy days, and I often struggle with, I have this opportunity, and I have this set amount of time. And mm-hmm. so what are things that we can be doing with our energy or with ourselves, with mind, body, spirit, to know if something is for us or not?
Mm. I would invite everybody to explore their intuition and how they receive messages, information, whatever that may be, from something that's not just our human mind. So okay. everybody has, right? We as humans, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. We're souls in a meat suit, basically. Meat suit is my favorite. I can't get over it. I like, you can't see him. I have like the muscle outline, the muscle poster up on my wall. I'm like, it's a meat suit. We're all one of those. It's literally what we are.
Yep.
We all have an energetic part of ourselves. And that is true whether you are Christian or atheist or Buddhist or Wiccan, I don't know, any of those things, right? There's a belief that we are more than just the human being walking around here on earth. Mm-hmm. And that energetic part of ourselves has information and has messages and has guidance for us. the best thing we can do, not that every person needs to go become a professional intuitive, right? I invite everyone to do that if they really want to. It's a pretty cool way to live. But to learn how you hear or feel those little pings. Some people will literally get a like, oh, yep, like a zap of energy. I feel it in my like heart and my stomach when something is right. But mm-hmm. I have to be quiet or still enough for that to come through. And it's like a muscle that you practice, right? I could be driving now and I'm like zipping along and I get a little like, oh, there's two routes I could take here. Oh, that's the one. That's the way to go. Okay, I'll go that way, right? It can be that every day and that simple. For some people, it's feelings. For some people, it's a knowing. This is really, really common where it's like, if I get still for a second, and this does take practice, right? Our world is busy and frantic all the time. It takes an intentional, like, I'm going to get still and I'm going to take a breath. And if I look at that opportunity, I got nothing. When I look at that one, oh, yes, that's the one. Yeah. Or if I get really still, a little knowing will come in. Oh, okay. That's where I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. Some people hear things. Some people see things. Whatever it may be, like figure out how your soul, your energetic self, whatever wording is comfortable for somebody, how does that talk to you? How does that get information through to you? And use that. And it takes a lot of trust, right? And I have gone not the route that I thought felt right and gone the other way and hit a traffic jam 900 times, maybe more, right? I have ignored that inner knowing, that like sense of like, nopers, and done the thing anyway.
Yeah.
A million times. It's the lesson of learning, right? That's mm-hmm. that's life. That's part of the journey. Mm-hmm. But really learning how your soul sends you messages or gives you guidance.
Oh, yes. And what happens when we have to make all these decisions and there's all these demands in life? Mm-hmm. Is we are feeling the energy of others.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go there with you. I want to ask you about what happens when we are pouring ourselves out to the world and we want to maybe save our friends or our family, or they're going through something crazy. What can we do to limit the craziness?
Taking the time at the beginning of the day, even if it's 2 minutes while you're brushing your teeth, right? To set, whether it's, you know, I'm grounded and I'm guided. I'm aligned and I'm here for love. I'm whatever it is, setting an intention and giving yourself a moment to just put up a little bit of a boundary around yourself. We have a really hard time with boundaries, partially because I think we're taught that like, that line can never be crossed. Once it's up, you can never be there for somebody. It's like, well, I think about like a personal boundary or an energetic boundary, kind of like a bubble, right? It's there, but I could stretch through it if I needed to. Someone can still get close to me. It doesn't prevent us from interacting, but there's just a little protection to it that sure. helps us not pour out those last few drops right at the end of the cup. And then we're like, oh, our cup's empty. I don't know what to do now. I gave you everything to help you, but now I'm depleted and you're actually still kind of depleted because I didn't take care of myself first. And oh no, this isn't, you know, so creating a little bit of like a protection, 2 minutes, brushing your teeth. All right. Today I'm grounded. I'm guided. I'm protected. I'm loved. I'm here to live my mission of XYZ. It could literally just be I'm guided, grounded, protected, brush my teeth, put my little energetic bubble up. Here we go. And then working to integrate throughout the day, especially at night before we go to sleep, like a conscious disconnect from those situations. Because even when we love someone the most, right, our partners, our pets, our siblings, our parents, we still aren't required by any way, shape or form, by any means, to carry their stuff around, right? And so putting in the conscious effort to kind of detach from those energetic situations so that you get to start the next part of your day or your next day or that next phase of your day in a fresh place, and you can separate so that you're not at the end of the day getting there with your bucket of all the stuff you dealt with today is full and overflowing, but your actual self bucket is empty. And you're like, what am I supposed to do about this? And so cutting that kind of energetic cord, basically separating energetically, is actually a sign of self-love and love for others. It does no benefit. Think about it like this. We carry around other people's stuff all day long. I'll solve this problem for you. I'll do that for you. You dump that on me. Okay. We do that. Would we want to do that to other people? Right. If we're dumping onto someone else, it's like, oh gosh, by all means, like separate that from yourself. Give that back to me. I don't want you to have to carry that around. So it goes both ways. So it's, oh, it's actually really loving, certainly of myself. And then I can be more loving to others if I create a little bit of a boundary or separation. We talked about blowing roses earlier, if you want to go there, right? Yes.
How do we actually put this into action when we're in the storm of it?
Yeah.
Chelsea, tell us about blowing roses.
Yes. Given to me by a intuitive, I don't know where she got it. She might've come up with it. She was lovely. Blowing roses. So picture, you know, you've got a situation, a person, a group of people, whatever it may be, that exists, of course. And maybe even if it's the person you love the most in the world, it's just running in your mind and you can't focus on anything else. And it feels like that's a part of what is preventing your intuition or creativity or whatever from flowing through. And you're like, I'm losing my marbles over the situation. So you picture a rose and it can look like whatever you want it to look like. Purple with green polka dots, doesn't matter. Put that situation on the rose in your mind. And with a nice deep breath in and out, you're literally going to blow the rose up. Boom, right?
Boom.
Cut that out of your energy field. And it truly can be the most loving thing. What I found when I do this, and I would feel guilty about it at first, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to blow roses over my client that I love so dearly, but I'm really stressed about their situation. And it's, when I then interact with them again, I'm a clean slate to hold space. I'm a clean slate entering that from like a heart-led perspective instead of a busy, boggled mind perspective.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to integrate that into my life because I have been hard on myself for not having as much compassion as I think I can have for other people. And the reason why I've been struggling with this, with the compassion for others, is because I've been setting boundaries that I used to not. I used to be a people pleaser. There's still a lot of remnants of that. I want to please people. I want to service people. And so in setting these boundaries, I think they've been a little hard instead of the bubble that you were talking about earlier, right? Yeah. And so then I'm like, oh, this is a boundary. You're setting a boundary. So I just toughen up. I don't have compassion for you. Instead of letting the boundary bend and then practicing compassion for myself and for the person in front of me.
I mean, that's the perfect example of the pendulum, right? I'm a people pleaser, whatever you need. I will sacrifice myself. I'll be there at 5 a.m. till midnight, no matter what, anything for you. Well, the pendulum's going to swing and it's like, I'm not showing up for anybody. Nope, screwdoodles. Can we bring that back to middle, right? It's, I mean, is our entire human existence here learning how to find balance? It might be. I think we've solved the meaning of life.
There's so many symbols of that in the world, like yin and yang and light and dark. And if you really think about it, there's so much more to that. And it's true. It's true.
Well, and if you think of, you know, light and dark as the example, and to pull it back to the artist's perspective, isn't that really what any like visual medium that we think of as classic art playing with? Even music, right? Filled with sound versus blank space. Like, isn't that the duality? And art is such a beautiful example of what it looks like when you bring those things together, when you find balance between those things. And I would venture to guess that any artist has had moments where they've painted something, let's say, and they're like, that ain't it. There's not enough light or darkness to it, whether they can put their, you know, nail down what's not right about it. We know when we hear music that feels balanced to us, right? That feels like the correct balance of lightness and darkness. And music is such a cool thing because we are drawn to music that vibrates or resonates at the frequency that matches where we're at.
Yes.
You know that, right?
Yes.
Heavy metal when I'm pissed off, right? Yep. Flowy ethereal stuff when I'm post-meditation in the morning. That's such a good barometer when we're trying to learn, you know, what state am I in right now? I'm trying to make all these decisions and I'm frazzled. What music would I pick right now? Oh, like really kind of heavy, angry music. Okay, maybe I'm in kind of a heavy, angry place. Perhaps this is a moment to slow down and soften and lean into something, or lean into the heaviness, but it's not a moment to make a decision, right?
Wow. Yeah, I think that's music, and also sometimes the art that we reach for and the inspiration we reach for is dependent on our energies that we're in. Mm-hmm. There are so many other places I could go with you. For those of us that have menstrual cycles, how does that play into our creative flow?
Yeah, absolutely. This is such a beautiful way to bring that feminine energy, right? Like a balanced divine feminine into our lives. For those of us that are a little bit more logic, science minded versus woo-woo, ethereal. And I say those of us, I've lived in all the quadrants of thinking and believing. The menstrual cycle, right? The female hormonal cycle is a really cool way to start to bring that like science and energy together. Mm. So for biological females, right? Menstruating females, we have a rhythm throughout the month that changes every single day. This is part of why our masculine culture can be really challenging to live in, because our day to day, other than the weekends, right? 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, is the same every single day. That works really well for biological men because their hormones are the exact same every single day. And that's not the case for women. We change every single day of the month. We have stretches that are similar, but every day is a little bit different. And so we then have to try to adopt this women are small men mindset to survive in the world, instead of honoring our like natural rhythms and our cycle. So when we think about the menstrual cycle, right, we have a period, we have ovulation, we have a period, there's a lot that happens in between those times. And my favorite way to break it down is seasonally, like looking at your menstrual cycle from a seasonal perspective. We're in Minnesota, wherever people are, I think we all know winter, spring, summer, and fall generally. Mm-hmm. So the bleed, if you're okay if we go there. Hopefully
yes.
No one listening is uncomfortable about the fact that women bleed once a month. spoiler alert, it's health class. Here we go. That is like our winter, right? We are in a lower energy state. I'm not my most social in winter. I know that people try to be, and you can tell they are tired, right? It's darker, it's colder. We want to be more introverted. We're kind of reflective, right? Think about, you know, December into January, we're kind of hanging out at home. We're eating warm and hearty things. We're not necessarily showing up. And that's not our most outwardly creative time, but it can be internally and mentally a very clear time.
Okay.
Because of what our hormones are doing, we actually get really good communication between our right brain and our left brain, our creative being brain and our doing structural brain. We get good communication between those two. So it's a good time to kind of reflect and to start to clarify like what's going to come next. Okay. All right. So that's winter. That's our bleed. Mm-hmm. Then we go into the follicular phase. That's between our bleed and ovulation, maybe 7 to 10 days, depending on someone's menstrual cycle. And that's like spring. So think about planting seeds. We're starting to come out of our houses. It's a little brighter. Fresh things feel better. That's where we're like literally planting your garden, planting the seeds. I'm starting to create things. I'm starting to put the pieces together for something to blossom or bloom. We have a little more energy. We're a little bit spunkier. It's a really good time if you're doing like content creation or something, right? So many people are business owners now, to like get yourself out there, start to put those ideas into motion.
Okay.
Ovulation. So it's like the middle of the cycle. If you were to look at a 28-day cycle, which they say is normal, menstrual cycles are meant to range. If your cycle's not 28 days, there's nothing inherently wrong. If your cycle is way more or way less, maybe seek some guidance, different issue. Ovulation. So day like 14, let's say. So day like 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, kind of this like 3-4 days in the middle. That's like summer. And we joke that it's hot girl summer, because that's when we're like feeling our best. That yep. is the like, show up, show off your work, right? Things have blossomed, things have bloomed, and like put it out there. And that's where spending time in winter, kind of reflecting on what went well, creating a little bit of structure so that in hot girl summer, you can show up and you're like, here's my work, here's my art, here's what I've been up to. Look at me, look at, I'm right here with you. That's a really good time to do those things. And that's kind of a feminine masculine balance again, right?
Yep.
And then post-ovulation, pre-bleed, that's our luteal phase. That is where we start to wind down. That's like our fall. So if you think about early fall, we're still going out, we're going on walks, we're seeing people, you know, patios are still open here in Minnesota. And then we get towards that like maybe week before our menstrual cycle and we don't really want to go out quite as much. Our energy is a little bit lower. We've harvested what we planted and now we're kind of, you know, in a little bit of cleanup mode, starting that reflective phase, you know, a little more introverted. We're a little bit more hungry. Honestly, we need more calories in that phase of our cycle. So if you feel like what made you full a week ago is not making you full today, that's probably why. Just eat more. It's okay. But that is kind of that like fall internal reflective time. And then we go yeah. into winter where we really do like full reflect and start to plan. Then we go plant our seeds. Then we, you know, we show up, we blossom, we harvest, we reflect. It's that kind of cycle.
You know, this is fascinating to me. And I think I can start to, I could definitely work on aligning both the work that I do, maybe the time that I spend in the gym or other areas of my life according to my cycle. Could we briefly take an example? So let's just say, maybe building this podcast. So in building this podcast, there's a couple of different things I have to do. Number one, I have to do scheduling. I have to schedule my guests. I have to brief them. And then I also have to do recordings. I have to have the actual conversations and get in a flow with that. And then I have to create the content after and publish it. So with those different steps, what would I do for each of those? If you were to recommend and align it a little bit for me.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were going to look at a month, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got your, you know, yep. Chelsea's coming on the show. I need to get that on the calendar. So that to me would come through as more of like a fall or winter activity, right? Kind of an organizing, like, where am I going to put that in the future? Because mm-hmm. the actual recording, that's more of a spring or summer. And the creating of content around it would be kind of summer. But you could look at like scheduling in winter, recording in spring, you know, creating content around it in summer, and even fall where you're kind of harvesting would be almost like your editing phase.
Mm, okay.
And I'm working on it. I'm, you know, clarifying what went well, what didn't, I've got it all set. Yep. It's all harvested. So then it can go out to the world. Well, and really the magic would be, I don't know how podcasting works, but you get it all set and then you schedule it to go out and you schedule it to go out while you're in your winter. So something is still happening
that
you don't have to do it, right? Mm. So it's like, I'm going to schedule it in the winter. I'm going to do it in the spring. I'm going to kind of put promo together. And you suppose you could promote it before you edit it, or maybe that all kind of goes together.
Yeah.
I'm going to put promo together and like make a video about it or make a post about it. I'm going to edit it in the fall. And I'm going to set it to go live in the winter when I don't want to go on camera in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
That's not my cutest time. We're fluffier in the winter. It just is what it is, right? We're pale and we're fluffy. It's fine. We're surviving. It's okay.
There is so much more to unpack there. Yes. But we can't fit it all into a typically 1 hour podcast. I do have one more question for you before we wrap up. And that is, so when we are struggling with our mind, body, and soul connection, we turn to everything except maybe ourselves. Mm. And so I wanted to ask you, we've talked about this before, Chelsea, that you have kind of a something with the word healer. So tell me about that. Tell me your perspective on this and why, what we should do when we are struggling with this.
Yes, I have beef with the word healer. And that started very, very early on. I mean, 7-8 years ago when I started my career in holistic and functional nutrition. You're a healer. It was like, I'm not Jesus. Like, what do you mean? Like, I have education and skills and knowledge to help someone understand what's going on with their body. But ultimately, anyone in that like provider, practitioner, healer role, we're using our knowledge and skills, and maybe it's healing, intuition, whatever it is, to help you figure out what is going on that's maybe not meant to be there. My job in functional nutrition is to look at what's getting in or what has gotten in that's not benefiting the function of your body or the health of your mind or your soul. How do we get that out of the way? Let me help you figure out how to move that out of the way so that your body, heart, mind, soul can do what they're designed to do, which is to heal themselves. Your body is designed to heal itself. If you want a scale to go back to balance, right? If you want your body to go back to homeostasis, and on that scale, there's a bunch of rocks on one side, move the rocks so it can come back to balance, right? Mm-hmm. I have the ability to go, oh, well, there's a bunch of rocks there. When we're really frazzled and disconnected, we might not see the rocks. We might not know what the rocks are. We might not know which is the right rock to pick up first and move out of the way. So someone can help you with that. Like, that's beautiful. I see practitioners, right? I get help with my own health, even with all the knowledge and experience. It's wonderful to have someone else's look at it and kind of expertise on it. But at the end of the day, that ability to identify like what needs to be moved is only serving the purpose of getting it out of the way so that you and your body can return to balance, can return to health and wellness. Like, that's my beef with the healer thing. And like, there are incredibly talented providers that can, they do use and move energy for people through their bodies. But at the end of the day, if we're moving darkness and bringing in light for somebody's physical and energetic being, even the person that's moving the energy is just moving the energy so their body can do what it's meant to do. So their physical and energetic bodies can come back to balance. When we feel disconnected, when we feel frazzled, the dream scene is that we notice it. We recognize, like, I am all over the place right now. I need to just slow down. I need to recenter. I need to, or want to, or get to, whatever word, right? People are like, don't say need. I'm like, you know what I mean. This is like the but and conversation, except mm-hmm. the opposite. I don't have strict rules around it. The dream scene is that we recognize it and we go, it's time to slow down. It's time to journal, meditate, connect with myself, word vomit into a voice note, whatever it is, to like let some things come through and clear out of the way so that I then can receive those intuitive pings or nudges about what to do or not do. And sometimes things are just too noisy to let that happen. And that's where we might look for guidance or we might look for help. Yeah. But even in seeking help, if we find someone to help us or guide us from that really frazzled place versus slowing down and pausing and really letting your most stable self figure out who the right person to guide you is, like, that journey and that relationship is likely going to be much more beneficial and feel much better, right?
Yes, being that most well resourced version of myself, and then maybe getting some extra help too. And if people need help, how do they find you? Where do they find you? And do you have any upcoming work or services or events or anything that you'd like to plug?
Yeah. So Instagram, of course, is a wonderful place to find me. I'm chelsea.kaz.gaethel. I have recently, in the last few months, started offering an expanded service, which has been really exciting for me. You know, 7+ years in the field of functional nutrition, biochemical wellness really taught me the lesson that to be well requires, and I say requires not lightly, us to care for our physical body, our emotional selves, our heart, our soul. Like, all of these parts of ourselves need nourishment. And so growing through feeling really stuck in just providing services that were nutrition and physical body oriented, through that has been birthed the offering, the session, Nourishment for the Soul. A new offering. It's a one-on-one service. It is really a comprehensive look at what's going on with somebody physically, emotionally, energetically, spiritually. And what comes through is a lot of information and messages from somebody's whole self. So it's a very all-encompassing session, looking at how am I moving? How am I eating? How is my nervous system? What's going on with my emotions, my mind, my soul? And so there's a really unique and beautiful set of guidance and then tools that come through for someone. And the real purpose of the session is that through our time together and then through some time in kind of a guided meditation or guided healing, that person gets to walk away in that more aligned state. We spend time in that calm presence of bringing body, heart, mind, and soul together so that when they come out of it with a whole bunch of new information and tools, mm-hmm. they get to make the choice about what to do or not do for themselves instead yep. of, she told me to do that or this or that or this influencer said, or I ordered the supplement. I don't know if I should take it or not. I don't know what's going on. Is this food good or bad? Am I supposed to eat eggs or not? I don't know. It's like, whoa, I can connect right here.
Yes.
And then I know what's right for me. And so it's a very tangible, there's a lot of tangibility that comes out of it. It's also a very energetic session. And it has been really incredible to see what comes through, especially in people that I've known for a long time. It's like, whoa, there's a whole another world we can crack into here to help you feel well. And at the end of the day, like feeling well, being well for me is about living well. There's no separation from, and again, this is my own belief, there's no separation between our health and our life. How we feel and take care of ourselves and live here is how we get to live out there.
And I don't creative. Sorry, I interrupted no, you. But yes,
absolutely, 1,000%.
They are intertwined. Health, our well-being is intertwined with our creativity.
Truly, it's your whole self showing up in your whole life. Like mm-hmm. I don't make decisions for myself around my health, around how I eat, move, sleep, sauna, hydrate, who I interact with, how I meditate. Like, I don't make those decisions lightly. I make them because I know when I, and I believe this for everybody, when we tap in and connect to and take care of our whole selves, then the life we get to go out and live becomes so beautiful. It becomes so meaningful. It's not just like a good life on paper. It's like, oh, this is my soul's path. This is my soul's journey, mission here. And that doesn't mean, you know, you get all connected with yourself and you have to quit your job and you have to go live in a mountain. Like it might have nothing to do with your work, but your life is the life that you're meant to live. Right? That's what it's about. I know. And it's, you know, it's no small feat. Every day I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
There's something bigger here though, than just like take your vitamins and eat salads and go on a run. It's so much more than that.
Chelsea, thank you for your brilliance. Mm-hmm. Thank you for gracing Art is the New Wall Street with your magic. Oh my gosh. For those of you who are listening, who don't maybe consider yourself an artist, I hope you also got value out of this. And by the way, you are an artist.
BTW.
Because art is a way of life and a creative act. And Chelsea, thank you. Mm-hmm. And to all of our listeners out there, huge thanks for tuning in and hanging out with Chelsea and I today. Keep creating, keep making magic. Your art is a gift to you and to the world. We will see you next time.
Thank you, Morgan, so much. This is beautiful.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Art is the New Wall Street. If you liked what you heard today, give our show a follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find us on social media or at artisthenewwallstreet.com. Keep creating, and we'll see you next time.